Enjoyed our study, the book of Galatians. Just a brief background. The Apostle Paul, in his first missionary journey, started this church, he and his missionary team. And it was not just a church, they were churches, as you will notice in chapter 1. They were churches in Galatia that were started on his first missionary journey. And after he had left, he and his missionary team, and had begun to complete that first missionary journey, there were those Judaizers, and Judaizers are simply those who were trying to make the law the premise of salvation. They believed that by keeping the law and through the circumcision of the law, that's how you got to heaven, that's how that you had favor with God. And there was some debate about this, and word got to Paul, and so he wrote this letter back. Paul was a defender of the grace of God, a strong defender of God's grace. And so he wrote this letter back, and he was really strong in his wording. In chapter 3, you'll see in verse number 1, he said, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you?" And he begins to lay out some questions to them. Verse number 2, "Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Right on down, he asked them some questions. Really, they were rhetorical questions. The answers were obvious. And he's saying, "You're not thinking this thing through. You're not acting upon the teaching that was given to you as the Word of God, and as the Spirit of God enlightened your mind and you need to go back." And then he asked this question, and I found it very interesting. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago when we were in this section, and I want to go back to it, and I want to lay some groundwork on helping us to understand the answer to this question. So I want you to put your thinking cap on tonight, okay? You're going to have to follow. You're going to have to really, and I know many of you have worked hard and you're tired, but listen, this is wonderful teaching from the Word of God. The Word of God has teaching that's going to lay groundwork to help us to understand the answer to this question. And it is an important question. Look in verse number 19 of chapter number 3. It's a question that's been asked for many, many years and is still a question that is in much debate today. And the question is, verse number 19 of Galatians chapter 3, "Wherefore then serveth the law?" What's the purpose of the law? If we're saved by grace, if you're telling us that we're saved by grace through faith in the finished work of Christ, why are these people coming to us and telling us about the law and you're telling us that it's not the law? What purpose does the law serve? Well, I want you to look into this verse with me, and you may remember that there were three things in verse number 19, probably three of the most telling things about the purpose of the law in all the New Testament. Notice, if you would, there's three things in this verse, and we'll use this to spring into some words I want to give you that will help us answer this question that was asked. Now, this question was rhetorical. Listen, Paul knew the answer. He was trying to get his readers, those believers at these churches in Galatia where this letter was sent, he was trying to get them, "Hey, I need you thinking," he's saying. So he said, "I'm going to ask a question that no doubt as I'm teaching you, as you're reading this letter, you're asking this question in your mind," and he's saying, so you ask, "Wherefore then serveth the law?" And he begins to answer. All right? So here we go. Number one, notice what he said about the law that everyone needs to know. And here's the first thing. The law had a beginning. The law has not always been. Notice what he said in verse number 19. He said, "It was added." Now, if it was added, that means that it has not always been. Right? It was added. In other words, you have things and then you add to it. And so he said the law was added. Now, we know that the law, listen, the law has not always been. Adam, Abraham, there were many, many of the patriarchs that were not under the law. And we're going to see in a minute where the Bible says that the law was given by Moses, okay? God used Moses as the lawgiver. God gave the law, but he used Moses, and so we'll see that in just a moment. So one thing that we need to know about the law in order to find out what purpose or what, in verse number 19, wherefore then serveth the law, is that it had a beginning. Then notice the second thing in verse number 19. It was added, in other words, it had a beginning, but it also had a purpose because of transgressions. Now, what does that mean? Now, all sin is not transgression. However, transgression is sin. Now, there is a purpose that Paul put this, and we're going to look into it just a little bit tonight and over the next couple of weeks, the Lord willing. All right? So he says, number one, the law had a beginning. It was added. Number two, because of transgressions, which deals with the legal, not the moral, but the legal aspect of the law. All right? Then look at number three. It had an ending. Till, you see that? Till the seed should come. So, the law was given. It was added. That's its beginning. Number two, it had a purpose for the transgression, because of the transgressions. And then it had an ending until a certain time. And then the law was not used in the way that God gave the law for. All right, you see that in verse 19? So that is a foundation which we're going to use to answer this question in verse number 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? Now I want you to write this word down. I want you to write this word. We'll look at the first thing. The first word is dispensational. You say, well, preacher, that's a big word, and I don't know that I want to think about big words after working all day. Well, dispensational, it may be a long word, but it's not a big word, all right? It simply means a time frame. I looked up the word dispensational, and this is what the dictionary said. It says order, arrangement, a time frame. See, God chooses to deal with man. There are several covenants or dispensations of time that God dealt with man. The Adamic dispensation, the Abrahamic dispensation, the Edenic. I mean, write on down. And we'll look at these dispensations of time, because God deals with people in these dispensational or time frames. Right now, we are, according to the book of Ephesians, Paul wrote, in the grace dispensation. The church dispensation. See, the way that we meet and the way that we worship and the gospel that we preach has not always been. It has been pointing up to this. Now, I want to tell you something else. When we leave this world, and we're going to leave this world, amen, that's right. We Christians are going to leave this world. Everybody's going to leave this world eventually, some way, somehow. But we Christians are looking for the glorious return of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when he comes, he's going to take us out of here. And then there's going to be another dispensation, which will be the final dispensation of time upon this earth. That's the kingdom age or dispensation. And that's not my teaching tonight, but just so you'll know, right now we are in the grace or the church dispensation. And so God is dealing with people in a certain way. Now he's going to deal in a different way. All right? There's going to be a message of the kingdom that's going to be preached. Study the book of the Revelation, Matthew. When it's talking about the kingdom age, all right? Isaiah 63, 64, 65, Isaiah chapter 66 deal with this kingdom age. So, number one, dispensation. Take your Bible, if you would, and let's see about this dispensation, all right? The law had a beginning, it had a purpose, and it had an end, all right? Now, dispensational. Look, if you would, in John chapter number 1. And I want to talk to you about the law as it is dispensational. All right? The Bible says in John chapter number 1, a very familiar passage of Scripture, in verse number 17. John chapter 1, verse 17. Are you there? It says this. It says, for the law was given by Moses. And it was on the Mount Sinai. Amen? It was given to Moses, and it was given to a specific people, which we will get to in just a moment, by Moses. So the law, the Bible says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth. Now, notice it doesn't say was given by Jesus Christ. It said, but grace and truth came because he is grace and truth. If you look back at verse number 14, it says that Jesus, the Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is grace and truth. And so the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth, it wasn't given by, it came by, amen? He is the embodiment of grace and truth. And so here we have the dispensation, all right? We see that there's different dispensations. There was a law dispensation, and that law was given by Moses. Turn, if you would, to John. You're still in John, the Gospel of John. Turn to chapter number 7. And this is what Jesus said to a group of Pharisees in chapter number 7 of the Gospel of John. Look, if you would, in verse number 19. John chapter 7, verse number 19. Jesus said, "Did not Moses give you the law?" He did. Look what he said. "And yet none of you keepeth the law. Why go you about to kill me?" So Jesus said this. Didn't Moses give you the law? The Lord Jesus said, wasn't Moses the lawgiver? So the law is dispensational. It was for a time frame. All right? Second thing I want you to notice about the law, and you'll have to turn to the book of Romans for this, Romans chapter number 2, is not only is it dispensational, but it's national. Now, while you're turning to Romans chapter 2, I want you to know that as we look at these scriptures, the law was given not only at a specific time, but it was given to a specific people. You see, the law was not given to Moab. No. The law wasn't given to the Perizzites. Mm-mm. The Hittites. The law was given to the children of Israel. The law was given to Israel. Notice what Paul wrote here. Are you in Romans chapter 2? In Romans chapter 2, the Apostle Paul deals with this a little bit, and he says in verse number 14, I'm in Romans chapter 2, and I'm in verse number 14. He said, we'll go back to verse number 12. In verse number 12, he said, "For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law." So, according to this verse, there are those that are within the law and those that are without the law. You see what Paul's saying? If you'll go down in verse number 14, Scripture always interprets Scripture. I'm in Romans 2, verse number 12, and he said, there are those that have sinned, and that's what Paul's dealing with in these first few chapters of the book of Romans. He's dealing with sin. And he said here that as many, in verse number 12, that as have sinned without law, shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Look at verse 14. For when the Gentiles, you see that? For when the Gentiles, watch it now, which have not the law. The law wasn't given to the Gentiles. So, you see, the law was not only dispensational, but it was national. God gave His law through Moses to His people. It was national. Now, those who came in and were a part, well, they fell under the law. But don't you think that these Gentiles... Notice what... Let's finish reading that verse number 14. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these have not the law or a law unto themselves. In other words, Paul was saying, don't think that Gentiles are going to know right and wrong the way those who have the law know. Now, brethren, I want to make a statement here, and we're going to elaborate on this in just a moment. There is a distinct purpose and reason why people want the Ten Commandments and the Word of God out of our public places. Okay? Because the law is what reveals, the law is what brings forth sin. The law, it shows us, it shows man his exceeding sinfulness. Now, the law is not sin. The law doesn't cause sin. what the law does is it shows man his unrighteousness, and man doesn't want to see his unrighteousness. See, the law shows how holy God is, and it shows man how sinful he is, and man doesn't want to see either. Because man doesn't want to think, I've got to answer to God one day. Man wants to live his life free from that thought. I'll do what I want, when I want, how I want, and I'll answer to no one, man says. But God says that you will answer. And God says that you're sinful, and you're fallen, and you're depraved, and man doesn't want to hear that. And God says in his law, there's things you shouldn't do. And man says, well, I don't want to think about that. Thou shalt not steal. And a man says, well, I don't want to think about that. I shouldn't do it. I want to do it. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And man says, well, I don't want to think about that. I just want to do it. And God says, well, you should not do it. Right? So let's remove the law. And that way, then men can soothe their conscience and think it's okay. Situation ethics, relativity, whatever I think is right, then is right. Oh no, whatever God says is right is right. And whatever God says is wrong is wrong. But if we remove the law, you see, right? So there's dispensational. Did you write that word down? It's very important. The law came by Moses. God used the law for a purpose in a particular time frame. Now, I don't have time to go through the scripture, but just so you know, listen, when God told Adam and Eve in the garden, listen, the law wasn't at that time, and yet God told them, you eat of that tree and you're going to die. You know why? Sin brings death. That's why. Yet there was no law, but yet there was sin and there was death. So the law did something to sin and death. And we're going to see that in just a moment. So you have, number one, you have dispensational. Don't think just because that there was no law leading up to the time of Moses that people didn't sin and people didn't have to answer to God. They did. But the law did something, and we're going to see what it did at the time of its giving until the time that Jesus came. The law did something. And God still uses it to do something. We'll see what that is just before we close our message tonight. So there's dispensational. Then there's national. Then I want you to write this word down, okay? It's demonstrational. See, God gave the law to demonstrate something. He gave the law to demonstrate something. I want you to take your Bible here and turn to Acts chapter number 15. Now, we've looked at this, and you'll remember Acts 15 was where they had this council in Jerusalem. And what had happened, brethren, is the Gentiles were getting saved. And the Jews were these Judaizers were saying, well, you've got to live like Jews live. You've got to keep all these rites and these ceremonies, and you've got to become a Jew. And you've got to keep the commandments of Moses. Look in Acts 15. Look, if you would, in Acts 15. We'll start in verse number 24. You're there? Acts 15, verse number 24. Forasmuch as we have heard that certain which went out from us, and this is from the church at Jerusalem, okay? For certain that which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law. Now I want you to notice what Peter said. To whom we gave no such commandment. Amen. Peter said, we didn't give that commandment. They took it upon themselves to come to you Gentile believers and tell you that you've got to do this. But we didn't give them this authority. Amen. Look back in verse number 10. No, the early church had already gathered a conviction in their heart from the Spirit of God how a man was converted. Notice, if you would, in verse number 10. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear? Hey, can I tell you something, brethren? Now listen to me. I believe people ought to live right. If you're a Christian, you want to live right. But if you think you can keep the law, you're fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself. The law was around for, listen, 1,500 years before Jesus came. You know how many people kept the law? not one single person. It is foolishness to think that you're going to keep the law and that's going to get you to heaven. That's ignorance. And I'm not being mean. I'm trying to help us to understand there are people today that believe that they're going to heaven because they're doing right. You do not go to heaven by doing right. No one has ever gone to heaven by doing right. Not in any dispensation. If we could do right and go to heaven, Jesus dying on the cross would be in vain. We don't want to frustrate the grace of God. For by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. Look, if you would, in verse number 10. Peter said this, but we believe. Now watch it now. These are the early disciples. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. What about our fathers, Peter? Even as they. Amen. See, this goes back to verse number 10 when he's talking about the yoke of bondage that was put upon the fathers. He says, why are you trying to put that on them? They couldn't keep the law. Many are believers and they're in paradise. They're in Sheol. And they were taken from there into to the third heaven after the resurrection of Christ. But they didn't get there by keeping the law. They got there because of the grace of God. Like every person that will make it to heaven. It's by grace, brethren. Grace. God's grace. So we find there was dispensational. There's national. Then there's demonstrational. Demonstrational. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn to back to Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter 3. Some of the greatest verses in all the Bible about why God gave the law. What then, or wherefore then serveth the law? That's what we're talking about. Why the law? Well, it's dispensational. God chose to use it for a period of time. There was a time when God didn't use the law. It wasn't here. Did Abraham have the law? No. It wasn't here. The law is not for us. There was a time and a purpose why God gave the law. We're going to see. It wasn't to get anyone to heaven. God had a purpose for it. Dispensational, national, and now demonstrational. Did you write that word down? God demonstrate. Okay. So you got these people that God has chosen through Abram, eventually Abraham, through his seed, Isaac, the promised seed, the miracle seed, a nation was born. A nation as of the number of the sand of the sea, the stars of the sky. And God has richly blessed Israel. Amen. You ought to pray for the peace of Jerusalem every day. The Bible teaches that. You want a blessing on your life? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen. One day there's going to come peace. That's right, brethren. There's going to come peace. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to set up His kingdom upon this earth. And sit on the throne of his father David in Jerusalem. What a day that's going to be. It's coming, brethren. Just as sure as you're sitting in this building tonight, it's coming. The Bible says here in Romans chapter 3, God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Now, God's merciful this way, okay? God said, I'm going to show you how much you need me. You see, man doesn't think he needs God. You understand that. God had to show me that I needed him. I didn't just wake up one day and say, oh, I need God. God had to do a work in my heart to teach me I needed Him. By the way, He had to do you that way too. If you've ever seen that you needed God, God had to show you you needed Him. And God chose the law. Listen to me now. You're in Romans chapter 3. Look at verse number 19. This is how gracious God is. Look at what the Bible says. Romans chapter 3. Look at verse number 19. Now, we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Now, what do you mean, Paul? I mean that there's not one person that's ever did what the law said. Amen? Never kept the law. So any person that says, oh yeah, we'll keep the law, and I'll listen, the children of Israel over and over and over again said, all that thou hast said, God, we will do. And never one time did it all. Why? They couldn't do it all. Nor can you. See, the law wasn't given for us to do necessarily to gain favor with God. The law was given as a schoolmaster. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But the law was to show us how holy God is. You can't keep God's word without God's help. The law was given to show us the righteousness of God and the sinfulness of man. As I mentioned earlier, that's why we're taking it all out of all of our public places. That's why churches are no longer using Bibles. They're throwing up some watered-down translation up on a big board, and they're giving you as little Bible as you can get. Why? Because the Word of God brings conviction. And man doesn't want conviction. Man doesn't want God to rule over him. Man doesn't want God to be his Lord. So here Paul said this in verse 19. He said that, you know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law. Why? That every mouth may be stopped. And the whole world may be guilty before God. Now look at this next verse. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Now, brethren, I don't know that you can get any plainer than that. These folks, listen, I'm not saying they're bad people. I've met some kind people that are trying to, by law works, get themselves to heaven. But I don't know how anyone could read that verse of Scripture and say, well, I'm going to get to heaven because I'm keeping the law. Well, the Bible says that there's no one. Look at verse 20 again. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Now, I just don't know how I could get any plainer than that. You don't need a Greek lexicon. You don't need a Strong's Concordance. God just laid it right out there. Amen. But this next little phrase is what I'm interested in tonight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. What does that mean, preacher? By the law is the knowledge of sin. There's something about God's Word. When you read in the book of Romans, you will find Paul saying, I would not have known that I should not steal had God's law said, thou shalt not steal. You see, God enlightens, shines a light in the dark recesses of the heart of man. When His law is preached, when His Word, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Amen. I mean, God's law, God's Word shines in a dark heart and it shows the darkness and it shows the sin and the depravity of man. And man doesn't want that. Man doesn't want that. Man wants to think he's okay. Man wants to think, well, I'm doing some of what God said do. Well, I'm not a bad person. I talk to people all the time, and if you witness often, you do too, who make very similar statements to these. Well, I'm not that bad of a person. You know, when you're witnessing to someone and you tell them, you know what? We're all sinners, and they just kind of look like, whoa. Whoa now, preacher. Are you saying that I'm that bad of a sinner? No, I'm not saying that. God is. God's saying you're a sinner. But you know, I don't do that bad, preacher. I've never murdered anyone. Well, James said in James chapter 2, if you've offended in one point of the law, you're guilty of all the law. That's what God said. Amen. So God said, I'm going to give this. I want to show you. So it's dispensational. It's national. But it was demonstrational. God said, I'm going to show you. You need me. Man needs God. Can I tell you, God doesn't need man. Listen, my mind can't fathom how long God was without man. I just know it was a long time because from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And then within just a few, six, seven, so thousand years, God said, I think I'm going to make man. And He made man in His own image to fellowship with Him. See, we need God But God has to awaken our sinful, depraved consciousness to realize that we need Him. We'll go all the way through life thinking, I'm all right. Am I right, brethren? Is God, listen, does God's Word teach this? Man will go all the way through his life and think, I'm okay. They will be born, they will live, and they will die in that condition. Except somebody take them the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need their consciousness awakened to the fact they need God and the law serve. What purpose serveth the law? Wherefore then serveth the law? I'm thankful that the law of God awakens the consciousness of man to his need of God. I want you to, as we look at our final word today, and that's the word revelational. I want you, so dispensational, time frame, all right? And then there's national. And then there's demonstrational. God said, I'm going to give this law. Now, God gave the law, listen, for 1,500 years, or give or take a little, man had the law before Christ. All right, now think about this with me. 1,500 years. Do you think man was any better in year one than he was in year 1,500 of the time of that law before Christ? Right before the fullness of the time. It's in this book, Galatians, that we're studying. Galatians 4, you know, where the Bible says in Galatians 4:4, and when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son. So in that time frame, from the law that was given by Moses, and then grace and truth which came by Jesus Christ, in that time frame, all right, the law was. Think man was any better? Think man kept the law? Any man keep the law? Can I tell you how sick and twisted man is? There's been one man to keep the law. One. Now think with me just for a moment. This will just tell you how dark they hated him. You know why? Because men love darkness rather than light. Listen, what I'm telling you is the Bible. But I've experienced it. See, I know that I love darkness rather than light. Some people will not admit, they're not willing to come to grips with the fact that they're fallen, they're depraved, they're sinful. They think they're okay. We live in a society now where God's Word has been removed from the public arena and now nothing's wrong. It's okay to shack up, to get drunk, to do drugs, to commit adultery, to take what belongs to other people. It seems like in people's minds and hearts, nothing's wrong anymore. You know why? Because the Bible has been set aside. We've got these preachers that tickle people's ears and scratch their back and say, it's all right. You know, it'll be all right. No, it's not going to be all right. It's not going to be all right. There's a day of judgment coming. And we need to prepare to meet our God. And better than in ourselves, we have no standing before God. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Brethren, without the grace of God, we have no standing before God. I want you to turn to this final section of Scripture. We'll begin in Romans chapter number 7. I find this very interesting. So we have one man who comes and he keeps the law. His name is Jesus. Oh, they hated him. They were forever plotting to kill him. He went about doing good and teaching the Word of God. As He spoke, it was the very Word of God. He healed people. He helped people. He had compassion on people. And they tracked Him down like an animal in the Garden of Gethsemane. And they arrested Him and falsely accused Him. And they beat Him. And they beat Him. And they beat Him unmercifully. And when Pilate said, whom would you that I release, Barabbas, or this man whom you call Christ? And they said, give us Barabbas. What then shall I do with Christ? He said, crucify Him. Crucify Him. We want Him gone. We want Him gone. They cried. The only man that ever kept the law, their law, that was dispensational, that was national. Those chief priests, those Pharisees cried out, "Get him out of here. We want nothing to do with this man. He's a Beelzebub, the devil." The one man that kept the law. So you don't have to go to Mount Sinai. And I've said this before, and it's so true. You want to see how dark man is? Just go to Calvary. You don't have to go to Sinai where the mountain's quaking and where the voice of God is thundering and God with his finger is writing out to Moses, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Go to Calvary and see where man took God in his hand and beat him like an animal. That's where you see the darkness of man. The only man that kept the law, and man beat him and said, "Away with him, go away." And they wanted him gone. Why? Because he reproved their works, their wicked deeds. Paul says something very interesting. It's amazing how sin works in our lives. And I want to close with this passage of Scripture here. Look at, if you would, in Romans chapter 7. We're thinking about this thought, "Wherefore then serveth the law?" Preacher, should we be trying to keep the law? Well, I think there's a new motivation. It's the law of love. And when you study the Scripture, can I tell you, Mount Sinai is thou shalt not steal. That's not what drives me. That's not what drives me. If that's what drives you, you're in trouble. Can I tell you, Mount Sinai is thou shalt not commit adultery. That's not what drives me. There's a Savior who died on the cross, who was buried and rose again, who came to me personally, who I have a relationship with. I love Him with all of my heart. Amen. And He said, you have heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her in her heart. You see, those are the words that I hear, brethren. I don't hear the words that Moses gave. I hear the words of Jesus, and I just love Him. I want to do what's right because I love Him, and I thank God for what He did in my life. It's not the thundering voice of Mount Sinai that calls to me. It's that still, small voice of the Son of God through the Holy Spirit who calls to me. And now I have a new law in my heart. It's a law of love that says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen? Oh, if all you've got is those written laws on stone to guide you, you're weak. You're looking for the beggarly elements and you can't do it in yourself. Thank God through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, the new nature, the divine nature of God in every believer. By the love of Jesus, we can keep His commandments. Brethren, that's where it's at. That's where it's at. Romans chapter 7, look with me if you would, and our final thought, and we'll pick up here, the Lord willing, next week. We're talking about this question, wherefore then serveth the law? Verse number 5 says, for when, Romans 7 verse 5, for when we were in the flesh, I'm interested in this phrase right here. Look at it now. The motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. What do you mean, Paul? It's very interesting. Let's read it again. Verse number 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. The word motions, you know what motion is. It's activity. It's like agitation. So here's what Paul was saying. He said, you know, you can be going along through life thinking I'm okay. I might not be as good as this one, but I'm better than that one. And I may not be doing this, but I'm doing this. And at least I'm not that, right? You can be going through life. We've all been there. Thinking you're okay. Then all of a sudden, the law comes to you. Maybe grandma. Amen. Maybe mama. Maybe you visited with someone because you had a girl you had your eye on, fella. And you thought, oh, all right, I'll endure a preacher by a sermon by the old preacher just so I can look on sweetie, cutie. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. God had your number. And some spirit-filled man of God stood up and preached the Word of God. And that law of God began to work. Watch it now. The motions of sin. I'm going to give you an illustration, and we'll come back here next week and finish up. Listen carefully. You ever taken a glass of water, tap water? You can do this and fill it up, sit it on the table. Go back, in a few days. All right? And you look at that water, and you're thinking, man, that's good stuff. I'm going to go drink it. Don't do it. Before you do that, get you a teaspoon. All right? Now, looking at that water, you think that's clean. There's nothing, nothing wrong with it. But then go over and stir. That's what that word motion, so that's what the law does. It stirs it up. You know what it does? It reveals some things. Man, you'll see murk and sediment. You'll think, man, I was about to drink that. Then all of a sudden you might get a little smell of something like stagnant, right? That's no good. This is what Paul was saying. Look at it, verse number 5 of chapter 7 of Romans. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members. God began to stir. And God began to show you, you're not as clean as you think you are. So that's what God's law does in our heart. It reveals some things. Remember when you was a kid? Or parents, remember when your child, when you went to them and said, now listen, and I wished I had a glass case up here, but you had a glass case and you had your glasses in it and you put it in there and you laid it down and you called your children together and said, now listen, don't want you touching that case right there. Just don't want you messing with it. I don't want you around it. Don't want you touching it. You understand that? Yes, sir. You got that? Yes, sir. You know what's going to happen, right? You know what's going to happen? Just as soon as you leave the room or leave the house, they're going to be playing real hard one day, and all of a sudden, wonder what was in that case Daddy didn't want me to touch. Right? And you're going to remember. But you know what? Had you never, now listen to me, it's amazing. Had you never said anything about that, they probably wouldn't even looked in it. But now that you've told them, don't look in that case. Curiosity, my grandmother used to say, killed the cat. I think it's got a lot of spankings in homes too. So they got to go touch it. I remember years ago, Dr. Oliver Green, what a man of God. He had a tract. And it was a thick tract. It's about 5 or 6 pages. And on the front of it, it had in big bold prints, do not read this, with an exclamation point. Well, you know what we do, right? We open it up and began to read it. And when you opened it up, he said, see, you're always doing what you're told not to do. And then he explained why. Because you're a sinner. You're a sinner. And sinners are always doing what they're told not to do. Just like Adam and Eve, when God told them not to, they did it. And you do it too. The motions of sin, brethren, for what? By the law is the knowledge of sin. So wherefore then serveth the law? Well, the law is what God uses to reveal to us our need of God. God uses it. We'll see in the book of Galatians where the Bible calls it our schoolmaster, which it tutors us. And it brings us to a place to realize our need of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to stand to your feet. And I want you to go home and I want you to think about this, all right? Why is it so important? Back when I was in school, we had Bible reading, and up to the 4th grade, we had Bible reading in school every day. That doesn't go on in very many schools anymore. Can I tell you something that happened back when I was in school? Well, let me tell you something that didn't happen. Nobody ever came in our school and gunned down other people. Never did. We didn't have to have police on the ground. We didn't have to have metal detectors. Man. But But I tell you what we did have. We had a teacher who opened up the Word of God every morning and read Scripture to us. Public school now. I went to a public school. First, second, third, fourth grade, every day. When it was time to go to the lunchroom, she would call us and we'd line up at the door and we would stand there and he or she would lead us in a word of prayer and we in single file, orderly, would go down the hallway into the lunchroom. We had prayer. We had the Word of God. Because the Word of God, it does something. But now the Word of God has been removed. And I'm afraid it's been removed out of our churches. But I can't control every church. But I tell you what I can do. I can control what happens here by the grace of God. We're going to preach the Bible here. The Bible's going to, it's the Word of God. It's final authority. Now, before you get too upset at the school, let me ask you something. Is the Word of God, does it have a place in your home? Do you call your family together on a regular basis, if not daily, and say, it's time to honor this book right here? It's God's Word. Dad, look right up here at the preacher, please. Men, take your role in the home and open this book up to your family. You say, preacher, I don't know a lot about the Bible. Just read it to them. The Word of God is quick and powerful. Just open up the Word of God and give it its place in your home. Let your children know that the Bible has a place in your home. It'll make all the difference. I realize as I look across this congregation tonight, we have some single moms in our congregation. Mom, just read the Bible to your children. Open up this precious book and read it. God's Word will do a work in your life and the life of your children. Wherefore then serveth the law? Let's pray. Father,